Back together, you and I on Connecticut today for a Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Sean Scanlon joined us in the 3 o'clock hour. Sean, besides being a member of the Connecticut General Assembly, is the top guy at Tweed New Haven Airport. A massive redo of Tweed was announced a couple of days ago. Tweed also set to become the northeast hub of a new regional airline. And in the 4 o'clock hour, about 4:30 or so, we spoke to a computer and cyber attack expert who specializes in ransomware from the University of New Haven to give us an in-depth look at what's going on with this ransomware attack against a major East Coast pipeline. Now, it's been a hot-button issue in New Haven County for years, even seeping down to Fairfield County, how it affects other airports like Sikorsky and Stratford, then into Westchester County. We're talking about Tweed, New Haven Airport. Big news last week, private money coming in to redo the terminal there, to lengthen the runway, and for Tweed to become a hub for a new Northeast Regional Airline. Joining us right now, a gentleman who, besides being a member of the Connecticut General Assembly, is also the Executive Director of Tweed New Haven Airport. Sean Scanlon is with us on the phone. Sean, hi, it's Paul at WICC. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good, Sean, and thanks for carving out the time. I know that, God, between the General Assembly and running an airport, I mean, what else do you have time to do? Where do you get the time, man?
I have a two-year-old toddler, too, so I have no time.
Oh. I'm sure your phone doesn't ring during the day either. Hey, Sean, look, I'm a New Haven guy, born and raised, still live in New Haven County. I have relatives who lived in East Haven for decades, so I was well-versed in what's gone on with Tweed for decades and years there. But some people in Lower Fairfield County and within the sound of our voices today, Sean, might not be that versed into how long of a process this was. So if you can just rewind a little bit, Sean, for our listeners, what the problems have been and now what sounds like a pretty cool solution is going to be.
Yeah, well, you know, we're celebrating our 90th anniversary as a public airport later on this summer. And for those last 90 years, there's been good times and bad times at Tweed in terms of air service and activity. Unfortunately, though, Paul, in the last decade or so, it's been mostly bad times. And we really have not had more than one or two flights per day, all of whom are going to Philadelphia. And then from there, you can go where you want to go. I've heard loud and clear way before I even took this job 18 months ago, just growing up in the suburbs of New Haven, that people really wish there was an option there for more service. They don't want New Haven to be Bradley or Westchester or even JFK. They just want it to be servicing the needs better of New Haven County and South Central Connecticut. And the deal that we announced last week, after a lot of fits and starts over the years, will finally allow us to give those options to people. And I think it's exactly what the region's been crying out for a long time.
And I know the crux of this for years, Sean, that led to litigation on the state level, on the federal level, on the local level, was the length of the main runway. Now that's one of the obstacles, I guess, that's finally going to be cleared.
Well, yeah, we had a big problem with the neighborhood in terms of the fact that they didn't want us to extend the runway. And I think the proper misconception about that was that if we extended the runway, we'd have bigger, louder planes. That's really not the case, Paul. What it means by extending the runway is that the planes we have now can go further. And why further is important is because we want to get to places like Florida direct. People want to take their two-year-old like I do and my wife on a vacation to Disney World. We don't want to fly to Philadelphia or Charlotte, have a layover, and then drive on down to Disney World. You want to be able to fly directly from where you want to go, especially in COVID times. All lengthening the runway will do is allow us to have similar-sized planes that we have now go further distances so that we can have more direct flights. And for 10 years, Paul, there was actually a law on the books in Connecticut that said we could not go beyond 5,600 feet. But in March of 2020, right before COVID, we actually won a case before the United States Supreme Court that invalidated that law and therefore let us go forward with however we wanted to do it. And the plan that we announced last week puts a 1,000 additional feet on our runway, completely within our right of way. We don't have to take any houses. We don't have to mitigate serious wetlands. It's all within our property. And by doing just 1,000 feet more, we can get to where we think our passengers and customers want to go.
That's amazing. Three football fields. It's not all that much, Sean. And yes, you know, and I'm a little bit of an air bug. I did a lot of flying years ago. I think people don't realize, Sean, that modern planes with new planes don't come noise. I mean, a lot of the planes tend to operate, Sean, you know, somewhat quieter. Yes, they are bigger, but I think people generally, Sean, unfortunately, are a little bit out of the loop with some of the technology that can help here. And also to that additional runway length, I've spoken to professional pilots who were no fans, Sean, and I know you've probably spoken to these people too, of some of the limits of the Tweed approach because the runway was so short, and they considered it, frankly, a pain to bring a plane down there of any appreciable size.
Yeah, not just a pain, a safety risk, right? I mean, all of us, you know, whether you live next to the airport or you live 10 miles away, safety should be the biggest thing that we think about when we think about air travel. Everybody wants to have a safe experience when you're flying. And some of those conditions, whether it's weather, whether it's wind, can make 5,600 feet very, very dangerous for a pilot. And by giving us that extra cushion room, again, it's 500 feet on either side. Not a big expansion. It doesn't go into people's houses. It's not going in the neighborhood. It's completely within our property. It's going to allow us to have a safer experience, and it's going to allow us to go a little bit further and still do so with respecting the character and the essence of the neighborhood.
Sean Scanlon, the guest for a few more minutes, executive director of Tweed New Haven Airport, along with being part of the Connecticut General Assembly. So, Sean, let's segue now into the other exciting thing I saw here, which will benefit, I think, all of Connecticut, not just New Haven County, but Fairfield County and other places. This regional airline that wants to make New Haven sort of a regional hub. Talk about that.
Yeah, so they're called the Velo Airlines. They're the first new mainline airline in the United States in 15 years, Paul. It's really hard to start an airline. It's a very competitive industry. The legacy carriers like American and United, you know, they have a toehold on the market because it's really hard to get into it. But the guy that started this, he's got a very good track record in the industry. He was the number two at United Airlines for a while. He started a company called Allegiant, which is a very popular West Coast airline. And he's making a big bet on New Haven, so much so that we are the second base that he's launching his entire airline at. We are the East Coast hub of the airline. The other West Coast hub is Burbank, California. And this guy went out and raised $125 million in investment money, and he's launching his airline in New Haven. And I think that that's a really big testament to the fact that he really believes that we have an untapped market here, which is something we've believed for a long, long time. We just could never get the forward momentum that we needed to put together a deal like the one we did last week. And this guy recognized that we were kind of getting our game plan together and we were moving, and he wanted to be a part of that movement to get out on the ground floor. And I think it's a smart thing that will benefit our customers.
And Sean, you mentioned before, you know, New Haven's never going to be Bradley or even JFK or LaGuardia. But I did read in one of the stories that I guess kind of the conception here was what TF Green does in Providence, and New Haven wouldn't be even that big, but I guess correct me if I'm wrong, but that was one of the regional airports that maybe this could be patterned after?
Yeah, I mean, we want to be New Haven's airport, right? And that means South Central Connecticut's airport, and it means meeting the needs of business and leisure and doing all those things in a way that doesn't, again, jeopardize the kind of quaintness that we have at the airport. And frankly, Paul, the convenience, right? I actually ironically hate flying, which is kind of funny given my job. But one of the things I love about Tweed is that the hassle you have of going even to Bradley, where you got to park your car miles away, there's long lines. If you park at Tweed, you literally can walk 20 steps into security, be done with security, and on the plane within less than 20 minutes. That's the kind of convenience that we offer, and we don't want to jeopardize that by growing too much, but we can still grow a little bit and still offer that same unique, really good experience at New Haven.
Okay, so Sean, jobs coming, a construction of a new terminal. Give me a time frame here. When does this all start to roll the gears here? When does this happen?
It's 1,000 construction jobs, Paul, and 175 full-time permanent jobs. That is really significant for our local economy, really significant for workers in our area, especially after COVID, where people have been really having a hard time. So job creation to me is the most exciting period. But the second most exciting thing is that it's not far distant in the future. It's starting now. We have to hire these jobs right now. Ovelo is starting here this summer. That's 100 jobs. We need 75 at the airport to meet them. And the 1,000 construction jobs are going to get started as soon as we can get the approvals for that, which we think will be sometime either early next year or mid next year. We're going to start having some real big activity at the airport, and we couldn't be more excited about it.
Great. Sean Scanlon, Executive Director, Tweed New Haven Airport, along with being a new dad and along with being a member of the Connecticut General Assembly. Sean, thanks. We appreciate it, and we'll be in touch, and don't be a stranger. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, bye-bye. There you go. All right, folks. Ovelo Airlines. Now, what does this all mean for Sikorsky Airport in Stratford? Not a bad airport as well. But now there's rumblings of, well, if you have a northeast hub of a regional airline that could take you quickly to Boston or LaGuardia or JFK or up to Boston, or maybe like Sean said, you know, get on a flight and go down for a weekend and meet some buddies in Florida, you know, stay at their condo, play a couple of rounds of golf, and boom, you're back, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning, and you don't have to go to New York. You can land right in New Haven. What does that mean for Sikorsky and Stratford? Well, we'll peer into that in the days ahead. Pipeline situation, huh? What? Somebody was able, through ransomware, to shut down a pipeline. Now, luckily, from what we can hear and sniff out, we're not one of the states affected yet. But who knows after this? To try and make some sense of all this, we welcome to the program Dr. Vahid Bezadon, PhD. He's a computer sciences expert. He knows about ransomware and all that at the University of New Haven. Doctor, good afternoon. Paul here at WICC. How are you today?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing very well. Glad to be here, even under these unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, when you, Doctor, first heard this report, you saw what happened, you heard the word ransomware. What were your initial thoughts on this?
Well, I wasn't surprised. The ransomware issue is global, and the pattern of attacks is quite ubiquitous. We see it almost everywhere. There have been a number of high-profile attacks on critical infrastructure all around the world, including in Australia, in Japan, and most recently here in the U.S. The Colonial Pipeline attack is definitely not unique in terms of the technical significance, but the repercussions, as you've mentioned, are quite significant.
Now, Doctor, a lot of people hear the word ransomware, and I guess they kind of get it. For those who may not, ransomware essentially is software. It's a virus that locks up your system, locks up information, and then the perpetrators, more oftentimes than not, they ask for a ransom to unlock this, correct?
That's correct, yes. So essentially what happens is a ransomware infection results in the encryption of your data with a key that is not known to you. The key to decrypting the data is only available to the attacker, the malicious party who's infected you with a ransomware. So they offer to decrypt your data, give you back access to your own data in exchange for money, which is typically paid in cryptocurrencies like Monero or Bitcoin.
So that even makes it tougher then, obviously, to trace. So, Doctor, and the guest, by the way, is Dr. Vahid Bezadon, computer engineer expert from the University of New Haven, software, malware, and all that. The average person, Doctor, may hear computer, and they may hear oil pipeline and say, well, wait a minute. What is the integration here between these complex computer systems and things like an oil pipeline or a power grid or, say, a water purification plant? I mean, you and I know that, but a lot of people still might, Doctor, not make that connection these days.
So this is actually a very interesting question. Many of our critical infrastructure are controlled by computers these days. They are not only controlled by local industrial control systems, but also by network systems that enable their operators to configure and maintain them remotely from different sites. Now, from what I hear, of course, the technical details of the breach and the ransomware attack are not released yet. But from what I hear, the internal network of Colonial Pipeline was infected. And since the company was not aware of the extent of the infection and the level of control and access the attackers were able to gain, they decided to proactively shut down their entire computerized system, which included the pipeline as well.
So it sounds like they acted proactively, so it could have been worse, Doctor?
Well, in these circumstances, security professionals within enterprises such as Colonial Pipeline decide to minimize the maximum amount of risk. They, by default, assume the worst has happened. Attackers have complete control over their systems. And to prevent the capitalization over such access or the damage that such access could result in, they shut down the entire pipeline. Of course, that doesn't mean that the attackers did actually have access to the control systems of the pipelines and the supply chain, but it's mostly probably a precautionary approach.
And a lot, Doctor, of the groups that do this, and I've interviewed cyber experts like yourself before, and those who also look at it from an international thing, and this group, who I guess came out yesterday, I don't know whether you saw this, but, you know, kind of apologizing for this, saying we didn't want it to get this crazy. The question is, Doctor, is it not that who's behind these groups? Are they being, you know, paid as mercenaries, or are they acting on their own? So there really is kind of a geopolitical thing involved in this as well, is there not?
Well, there was a statement that was released yesterday, and it's attributed to DarkSide that claims that they are apolitical and they do not participate in geopolitics. But of course, we know that an attack on a critical fuel and oil supply system is geopolitical. That doesn't mean that it was necessarily targeted. Their statement also mentioned that their goal is only to make money, and they do not want to create problems for the society. Mm-hmm. And they also mentioned that they'll try to avoid causing such problems in the future. But we are talking about a criminal gang. From what we know from the reports that are available to us in the non-classified domain, they're not directly associated with any nation states, even though it's been said that DarkSide, perpetrator of this attack, is comprised of Russian-speaking operators or hackers, and they do not target Russian-speaking services or computers. They don't seem to be affiliated with the Russian government itself. At least the link has not been established yet, which means that they are a gang of criminals who are only after money. They are holding our data, our infrastructure hostage, and they're asking for money in return.
And, Doctor, finally, you know, we're hearing, and you're hearing the same reports that a lot of us are on the unclassified side, that it takes, you know, you can't just Control-Alt-Delete here. You know, it takes, you know, for dummies like me, oh, I'll just reboot. It's not that easy to get rid of this ransomware. I mean, we're seeing where it's a multi-day process at least, correct?
That's very true. It is a bit of a deja vu. About a decade ago, there was an attack on the Saudi oil company Aramco, which was similar to a ransomware, except the attackers did not ask for a ransom. They just deleted everything that was on the enterprise computers and terminals at the company headquarters. And to essentially fix the problem, the security department at Aramco had to purchase new hard drives to ensure that there is no trace of the original infection in the system.
Sure.
I assume that a similar operation is underway at Colonial Pipelines, and they're trying to make sure that no computer, no node in their system has any trace of infection, and they can continue their operations without without the fear of leaving some back door open to the attackers for future ransom or even more nefarious attacks.
Oh, wild stuff. Thank you so much. Dr. Vahid Bezadon, a computer expert in malware and software and all that from the University of New Haven's Engineering School. Doctor, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. And we will talk down the road. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Dr. Vahid Bezadon, Ph.D. at the University of New Haven's Engineering School regarding malware, cyber attacks and all that. What did he say, folks? Listen, I said this yesterday. I could be completely wrong, but a lot of these ne'er-do-wells, shall we say, are somehow, sometimes state-connected, but who knows? And notice Dr. Bezadon said what they are talking about that is non-classified. There's always the classified stuff that people on my pay grade don't get.